We have closed faith chapter. We'll come back next week. Let's go to John 14. That's where we are. Got some stuff for us tonight that will help. Bladi, can I use this? All right. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. It's yet to come on. Thank you. All right. Let's go to John 14. John chapter 14. That's where we are. We've been doing John 14 for a couple of times now. So let's get back in there. I hope it's clear. All right. Okay. John 14. Let's go to verse 20. Where do we stop? Who remember? Yeah, we stop around verse 26. We read verse 25 and then verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, in that chapter 14 where we are studying, we have heard Jesus talking about this Helper twice. The first one was verse 16. Let's look at that same chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father. What will he do? He will give you another, what? Helper, that he may abide with you forever. To be honest with you, I love that word, helper, among all other words used. Some people use comforter, use other ones, you know. But I love this word, helper. The Christian life is a difficult life. Are you hearing me? It's a tedious, it's not natural. How many of you, let's be honest now, but by faith is easy. How many of you know living the Christian life can be difficult? For instance, loving your enemies, when they hurt you, you don't twice hurt them, you bless them. They said, pray for your enemies that they will die. No, Father, that I bless them. Huh? That you should not be quick to get angry. Like you do, only. You should be slow to speak. You know, these are the issues that we face as Christians. That who will defend me? Who will? So I need a helper. My wife used to joke. I said, you know what? You have one helper. I have two helpers. I have the Holy Spirit, and I have my wife as my help. She has only one. I got two. Then the question is, who is weaker? Who is the weaker one? The person who has two or the person who has one? Let's close there. All right. So we have another helper. And look at that word. That he may abide with you for how many days? So stop saying like this. Holy Spirit, please don't leave me. He won't leave. He said he'll start to work with you forever.
Pastor, are you saying that if I do something wrong, he doesn't leave?
If he leaves, you won't even know that you do something wrong. That's why you know you do something wrong, because he's there. He doesn't leave. Pastor, are you sure? Bible says that David said, don't take away your spirit from me. And that was David. There was no promise to David. There's a promise that you will abide with us forever. Jesus said so. Jesus said so. I didn't say so. Jesus, am I right? Jesus a liar. Pastor, what about if I commit sin? It's right down there. That should scare you out of the sin. I mean, can you imagine when you are at home, those days when you are small, you go to the kitchen, you take a meat out. Mommy's not there. Like, just imagine, your mommy's just behind the fridge. And then you are taking the meat. Beleo. You know? So it's a promise, also a problem. You know, it's a promise that will be with us forever. That means we have no hiding place. You know? This is what I say. Holy Spirit, boy. Let me handle this. But it's there with us forever. And it's also called a comforter. Look at next verse. Where is he? If it's forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because neither sees him nor knows him. So if you are not born, now listen to this. The world, those who are not born again, don't have the Holy Spirit. So it's a joke. Somebody said that I was born with the Holy Spirit from my mother's womb. Remember the person? No longer here. I was born with the Holy Spirit. No, no, you are not born with the Holy Spirit. Nobody's born with the Holy Spirit. You get born again and receive the Holy Spirit. So those churches that have all kinds of ME, that were said, the ebu can only be given to a person who has come to Christ. Are we listening here? Okay, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be where? In you. So we have the Holy Spirit in us now. Can I be honest with you? That is very difficult for me to believe. It was difficult. I said my stomach. He says, in me. Where is me? We were in anatomy class. We went to the anatomy. They cut human being's body. There's no inside here. We should have been at least wise enough to know that if the person is dead, he's already gone. But we think he's in there. So he dwells in us. Say that with me. He dwells in me. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. He dwells. He abides. He stays in me. Praise God. Let's thank the Father for sending the Holy Spirit. Let's thank the Father. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In our lives. You know, can I be honest with you? God has been convincing me that trust what I said. Believe that the Spirit is inside of you. You look at yourself, you look at your ability, you look at your weakness. You look at, if about the people, he said, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. We know. But me? It dwells in us. Now, what is it doing inside there? Somebody come and stay with me for a long time. You better participate in the house. If you're going to my house for 2-3 days, I'll let you sleep. Enjoy yourself. But if you're going to stay for 1 month, I'll tell you where we fetch water. And then where we wash clothes. If you stay for 5 years, you better know how to cook. Are you hearing me? You're no longer a guest. So, if the Spirit of God will come and stay within us forever, what will we be doing forever? So he told us in verse 26. Let's look at it. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will do what? Okay. Can you help us capitalize the word teach? He will teach you how many things? All things. And second, bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So, remembrance too, capital. So, teach, and so we can call him a teacher and a reminder. A teacher and a reminder. Now, what does he remind us? All things that I said to you. You need to see what. Why do I have to remember all that he said to me? Take a look, John 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have what? In the world, what will you have? But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So, I'm living in a world of tribulation. Please listen to this. This is vitally important. I'm living in a world of tribulation. Things are coming at me. Issues are happening. Things going on. But I want to have a place I can run to that's peaceful. He said, the words I've spoken to you, that's where the peace is. So if I remember what he said, I'll find peace there. If I don't remember, the tribulation will keep on tribulating. That's a good grammar. Keep on tribulating. But if I have it said, these things have I spoken to you. In fact, go back to John 16. Go back to John 16. You'll be amazed what he said next. John 14, we just said 26. We read verse. But the Helper, the Father, send my name, will teach you. Look at next verse. Peace. Consider peace. Remember, we just read, peace I live with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. And let it be afraid. These words of Jesus are just amazing. Read them over and over and over again. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. They have been trying to get peace between Palestinians and Israel for weeks and months now. Ukraine is there. And Russia. And then IPOB. Huh? And Omodua. What is? Just somewhere, but negotiate all this. So that's the word. The word gives you peace. They don't. It's not easy to be negotiated. But said, let not your heart be troubled. Now, that's why the Holy Spirit comes. To teach us and remind us so that we can experience peace. Can we look at that word peace? Jesus kind of peace. They asked one boy, they were asking a class, he said, what is peace? The boy said, sir, I can't describe it, but I can draw it. Oh, they said, okay, come and draw. You want to draw peace? Like one boy, I had one time that he was busy drawing. My mother said, what are you drawing? He said, I'm drawing God. He said, have you ever seen God before? He said, when I finish drawing it, you know that. He said, draw peace. So he came to the whiteboard. I started drawing water, waves, and drawing winds, and drawing a boat, and somebody sleeping in the midst of the boat. Say, what? I said, that's peace. Jesus sleeping in the midst of storms. I have some children. One, when she sleeps like Jesus, you can't wake her up easily. You pour water. Sometimes you have to, you know, slap. Another one, when you open the door, people like me, you wake up. I wonder how Jesus slept in that midst of storm. Storm me. Not a wind of rain in August. Just slept. Let's be honest here. How many of us have been disturbed lately? Don't put your hands up. Things have happened to us. Confuse us sometimes. Peace I live with you. My peace I give to you. News, issues, problems, future, bugging us. My peace I live with you. I've been around for a while. I'm talking about, you know, all kinds of things you pass through. All kinds of things I've had. Oh, you know, beside us, around us, within, outside. Peace I live with you. We are going to look at that peace in a minute, but let's go back to John 14:26. I want to talk about it. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you. So somebody needs to teach us. Praise God, amen, somebody. He need to teach us. You know, we learn geography in school. We learn maths, sociology, biology. But what teaches us how to live a peaceful life? They don't teach us. So it'll teach you all things. They can teach us biology, but how do we handle our jobs? How do we handle our children? How do we handle our future? Because real life is in that, not in biology, Mr. Naja D. That's real life. Real life is not teaching you accounting. Because when you get to work, the accountant and all the people that are in the office, life is, that's what life is. Am I right? And someone has to teach us about life. My daughter, when she started working and started saying all kinds of things, said, Daddy, I said, Dukia, this is not law school. This is life school. This one is different. She said, Daddy, how can this? I said, Bubele Wantame. You have to learn how to maintain your poise and your peace in all this craziness. And then when you finish at work and somebody abuse you, call all kinds of names, you can go back home and say, Father, in your hand, I trust you. When you look at your account and you don't have so much money there and you're going to cope to next month, you have to know how to be at peace and not fragmented. Sometimes you see me come to church cool. Things are boiling sometimes. Just cool. I have to hold on to that peace. So he said to teach you all things and bring to your remembrance. Bring to your remembrance. Let's talk about how he teaches us. Should we do that? And how does he teach us? It has to do with peace because that's his goal. When you see somebody being taught by the Spirit, that's an evidence of peace in their lives. But that word peace It's just more than just peace, like there's no conflict. It's the way we think peace means there's no conflict. But from what we saw of Jesus on the sea, there was peace in him when there was storm around. Right? And there was enough peace in him to get up and say, peace. Those guys can't say peace because there ain't no peace in them. I mean, just like turmoil. But there was this overflowing peace in Jesus I'm just remembering a verse now. Let's go to chapter 3, Colossians. 3 Colossians. Verse 17 or 16. Let's look at 16. Verse 17. Okay, is it 15? No, it's 15. It's 15. Thank you. 15. Oh, boy. Can you look up, everybody? Look at this verse. And let the peace of God do what? Become the alake in your heart. Become the ruler in your heart. That's what you are called into in one body, and be thankful. Let's read this verse in Amplified Classic. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Glory. And let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as umpire or a referee continually in your heart, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind. Will I get customers? That's settled. How will these children rise up? That's settled. How will we get there? That's settled. Something's telling you inside that you're going to cope through life. Though it doesn't look as if your course is going to have any impact in your life. Deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind in that peaceful state. I believe that one of the greatest trademarks of a Christian is peace. It doesn't mean everything is working for you. But it just means that you are in somebody's hands and you are safe there. Praise God. Praise God. Let's thank God for his peace. Let's just take a break and say, thank you, Father, for your peace in my life. I believe that this peace is available to me. I just want to give you glory for this peace. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate this peace in my life. I may not feel it yet, but I know it's there. You said your peace you have given me. And you have left for me. I take hold of this peace. This peace will work in my life to your glory. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Let's look at this verse in Message Bible. Then we'll look at it in Passion Bible too. Let's look at Message Bible. Wow. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. Peace will keep you to do the right thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let's look at it. Wow. Let your heart be always guided by the peace of the anointed one who called you to peace as part of his one body. And always be thankful. So, peace. But the second meaning of peace is called shalom. Have you heard shalom? Have you heard shalom before? Shalom means that God is orchestrating your life. And things are the best word for peace sometimes is the word prosperity. That doesn't mean too much money. No. The word prosperity means that things are flourishing. Things are working together. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Just working together. Oh, he said, God is able to make all things work together for your good. Even the disjointed, scattered things, God can take them with his peace and put them together. Praise the Lord. Am I making some sense? So, this peace, the teaching of the Holy Spirit and the reminding of the Holy Spirit will all conclude in peace. So, if you are taught by the Holy Spirit, your promotion is more peace. For instance, when a teacher teaches you very well a particular course, you can pass it. So, when you start being taught by the Holy Spirit, that's why some of these dreams and people's visions, I don't trust them for the Holy Spirit. They don't create peace. You know, you dream at night that you fell into one ditch and it's so deep you can't come out. Lord, is that a revelation? No, that's a revolution. That's confusion. That's not the Holy Spirit. You know, it's peace. I mean, you don't tell your children, be at peace and take a hammer and knock their head. You don't do that. Of course, if they're getting any hammered, it's from outside. It's not from you. So God wants us to have peace. And I want to teach us. Now, I want to show you. I'm just giving this morning. How do you enjoy being led by the Holy Spirit? How? Let's go. I want to show you step by step how this thing work out. Peace is the key, but let's look at how to be taught and reminded. Let's go. Philippians 4, verse 6. Let's start. Now, anybody knows that if you go to a class that's all jammed up and it's all confused, you can't really listen well. Am I correct? I mean, you can't be receiving lecture in the market. It's not that so easy. You can strain your ears, but it's not easy. Am I making some sense? So there must be an atmosphere. For instance, look at this room now. It's quiet, so we can listen. When a child cries over there, it goes like among all of us. Now, we need quiet here, right? Right? Now, where is the Holy Spirit? I'm asking a question. Where is the Holy Spirit? Where is inside of us, right? So if it's going to be inside of us, there must be a way of our heart and mind quieted. Correct? There can't be so much uproaring going on inside of us. My. I know what that is. I'm an introvert. See, when you say an introvert is quiet, they are not quiet at all. An introvert. They are not quiet. They are loud in their thoughts. They are introvert, loud with their words. If you are not, sometimes if you are an introvert, there's overthinking in your life. Praise God. That's why I married my wife. She's not like me. So she can bring her back to reality. So, if the Holy Spirit is inside of us, our heart and mind must be adjusted. And I'm going to show you today how to do that. Because really, it's in your heart and mind. That's where the tablet, that's where the writing, that's where, let's go, Hebrews 8. Let me show you this quickly. Okay. Teaching of the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad I'm doing this today. Come and see. Chapter 8, the book of Hebrews. Take a look at verse 8. Can you see on the screen? Behold, because finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make what? A new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Are we not in the New Testament now? Thank you. Let's keep reading. And not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. Let's jump on this one. Okay, so what's the covenant? For this is the, please look up here, I need your attention. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. Now look at it. Are you here? What will it do? I will put my laws where? In their mind and write them where? On their heart. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Continue with me. Next verse. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least them to the greatest of them. Last verse. For I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawlessness, I will remember no more. Let's start like this. Let's start from the end. The Holy Spirit will put up with your failures and mistakes and not getting him right. Are you here? I don't have any failure-proof way of following the Holy Spirit. I can never promise you that you will always get it right. The disciples, when Jesus was here, they don't get it right sometimes. Am I right? Like on the sea, Jesus will say, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. They will say, Pharisees, leaven. Leaven is yeast. Yeast means bread. We should not come with bread. See, and I'm glad because the same Holy Spirit like Jesus. Do you know what? Wherever you are right now, just cooperate with him. Amen. You will miss it. I'm not cursing you. You will struggle. If you don't, something wrong with you. Have you ever seen any child that's born today and tomorrow? That only happens in Cartoon Network. So their sins and their righteousness. How many of you? Be honest. You lie. How many of you? Sometimes you thought that God is the one leading you and you find yourself in the wrong place. But two hands are up. Like one pastor, you know, he got up, he said, God is leading me. We should go and do evangelism in one island. And then they raised money. They bought all the clothes for the missionaries and that kind of thing. And then they packed their bag and took a boat to the island. Then when they were going, they took one guide to the island. While they were going, they asked the person, this island, how many people are there? He said, you'll be the first inhabitant there. Are you hearing me? Sometimes you think, this is what God wants me to do. Bam! You fell on your face. Some of us, when we were small, you prayed, God, I want to do medicine. And you seem to have a dream that you do medicine. And then you got biology, P7, chemistry, F9, and physics. You think you are dreaming. But boy, oh Lord, what chemistry you have for? You know, things like that happen to us in life. We think, this is it. It's normal. But don't stay there. Where is the problem? Give us verse 10. Take a look. I will put my laws where? In their mind and write them on their heart. So if your mind is all confused and your heart is all jammed up, you won't get things clear there. You hear what I just said? Are you here, everybody? If you are going to be taught by the Spirit, it's going to write it in your heart and in your mind. In the case of Moses and the tabernacle and the commandment, wrote it on paper. See, a lot of things that God will teach you won't be on this paper. As you read here, you put it in your heart. So what is important, what's the word I want to use? The medium for God to get across to you is through your mind and your heart. He said, I will put my laws in their mind, teaching you, and I will write them on their hearts. How many of you have been there before? Listen to this. This is amazing. If I can write things, I can write things on paper, but if there's not sufficient light, I can't see it clearly. I can write things on paper that if it's squeezed, it'll be difficult to find. So you have to learn how to straighten out your thinking and your heart. Now, let me warn you. You see, devil has gotten this ploy done well. That's why social media is there. The social media, the primary target of the devil is to put just junk inside of you that you won't hear God. You won't get right in your heart. He will keep you all kinds of marital issues, all kinds of all those people put all that stuff. So you got so much weed and dump. You're like a dumping ground for all kinds of things. So God can, if just imagine your book, the one you study with, is all under the dustbin. You can get it through. See, if I sit you down now, ask you, what do you know about marriage? Those guys on the TV, those guys on machines, those on Netflix, that's what you know. So how can God get across to you? He can't get across to you. You're in the darkness. So first of all, let's clean that out first. And the devil is so smart today. You see all these kids, even all of us, just phone. And I know you have to do things on the phone. Phone is one of the best that happened to the human race. You don't have to be shouting across the road. You can always text. Even if you're in the same house, you can text when you are fighting. If you're just crowded in there, you can get anything. You know, this is my battle every day too. I want to reach for my phone. I have to put it down. And I thank myself. Google is just there. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's Google. Can I be honest with you? I've searched for some personal answers on Google. I've not gotten it yet. Because nobody has my life. They can give me an idea. So I need to get my mind and my heart. And Pastor, it doesn't affect me. You are always on your phone, do something. When are you going to put the phone down and just be yourself? So sometimes when I'm with my wife, I put my phone somewhere. I just give her attention. You're just there. You know? So we need to get our heart and mind. Now don't start feeling guilty. I have food too. And you know, you have to start controlling so that it won't dominate your mind. The rate you are going, you're not going to have anything in your future. Because everybody just putting things into you that you don't have yourself. What are you going to come down to yourself and find yourself? You're going to find your mind and your heart. No. You're going to have to get that mind. It's going to write there. You're going to put things there. Just imagine, you know, I've never been there before. You put things in one corner. You pack things. You're going to be looking for it forever. But if you have only one thing there, you know where to get it. But you got so much packed into your heart, packed into your mind, all kinds of things about relationship, all kinds of things about life, all kinds of things about money, from Elon Musk to Elon Church. Huh? You know, so you're confused up. You know, yesterday, was it this morning, I was putting some reel into my Facebook, and I opened it, and then the thing came on. I was loading the reel, and then next thing I came, and I saw this girl and this boy. Which one is really important? Is it money or relationship? So he asked me. The boy said, "It's money, oh." The girl said, "Now, wow, I just screwed. Go on. She said, I can't live like that. I can't be living like that. So best thing I do, I put things there, I help people, than just hinder them. Oh, I know, young guys, now you hate me now. You don't like me anymore. But it's your mind, it's your heart I'm trying to protect. To just put something in there. One last thing, you just stop and just think your own thoughts. And search your own heart. When do you come to conclusions about things yourself? Not just taking their takes. What's your take? What's your take? What's your take? You're all taking everything and your mistakes. Huh? Am I making some sense? I put my laws in their mind. Write them on their hearts. Here. So do something about your heart and mind. And how do you do that? Let's go. Philippians 4 verse 6. So how do I get my mind and my heart together? See, it said, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Now, why was he saying this? Look at next verse. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. What will he do? He will guard, just like soldiers, like Mopo, just guard over what? Your heart and your mind. Isn't that what you needed for God to get across to you? So if God's going to come to our heart and our mind and help us sort out things in our lives, first of all, he said, don't worry. What is doing more than to you than just worry? What is actually questioning your validity to getting from God? Okay, let's go back there, verse 6. And to be anxious for nothing. Fretting will take you out of where God can get across to you. Because your mind is all jammed up and your heart is all turn up. Actually, let me say like this. Being anxious and anxiety is fear vibrating in your heart and mind. What do I say? Anxiety is fear vibrating. How's it going now? How you gonna go now? What's gonna happen to your life now? How you gonna cope with that one now? What will happen to you tomorrow? Look at your kid. You know, it's just vibrating. And when it's vibrating like that, there's a lot of noise going on there. God can't get across. So, number one, if you are gonna be taught by the Spirit, fight worry with all you've got. Pastor, what will happen to me? I don't know, but I know God. Will Nigeria survive? I don't know, but I know God. You take care of me. Will I ever have this job forever? I don't know, but I know God. You must admit your lack of omniscience, omnipotence, omniwater. You must stop playing God. You don't know. You don't have the answer, but God does. Is that better? anxious for nothing. Pastor, you don't know I'm talking to myself too. Those of us who are introverted, we do more thinking and do more worry than everybody else. You know, be anxious for nothing. What will happen to me tomorrow? Be anxious for nothing. And somebody, what you do? Some people, they are anxious for not being anxious. You hear what I just said? What's your worry? Kilo share? Oh, so cool. You know, so, you wake up in the morning. What's your vibrate? What's your worry? Without a dollar, what's your worry? What will worry do? One of my teachers, you know, he said, you have to fight worry. Fight worry like no man's business. Finally, he achieved some level of victory over worry. So he was going out with his wife, coming from church. The wife said, you don't even worry at all. If me and our two kids fall down dead now, I know you won't worry. He said, if you are dead, why would worry do that? He just went ballistic. You know, it's just difficult not to worry about things. The world we live in today, tomorrow is anxiety. You know what Jesus said? Many of us read, seek ye first kingdom of God. You don't read the next verse. Let's go down there. Matthew 6:33. Worry. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek his reign. And all these things are added to you. That's a disclaimer. Next verse. Disclaimer. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Clear, sir? We have to do some worry. He said, don't worry. At least you are not from worry. My pastor said, why are you worrying now? I'm from worry and I don't worry. He said, for tomorrow we'll worry about his own things. That's what I want to happen. I want tomorrow to worry by itself. I want my enemy to be fully, but I want to set what I want to keep my free. Are you hearing me? I want my tomorrow to start at themselves. What about you? Amen. Years ago, I used to worry about tomorrow. And tomorrow is here now. Can you imagine when I was my 40, my 30s, I was worried about 40. When I was my 40, I was worried about... Now, I'm in my system. I'm worried about myself. What will happen? What will... He said, sufficient for the day is his own trouble. Tackle today. Take care of today. Will I live in this country forever? Will I ever travel? Will I... Oh, come on. You know, years ago I told myself, will I ever be a pastor forever in this town? At least it's becoming like forever now. It's become, but you know what? I wake up every day, just enjoy the day. Hallelujah. When we started having our children and they were girls, my wife started worrying about girls' clothing. Because for boys, just put jeans and t-shirt on them. They cope anywhere. But girls, there was something on their head, something on their hand, something around them, some pinafore. Hallelujah. So, worry is actually chipping at your direction from God. Just imagine somebody said, wants you to go that way. Everybody's shouting around you. You can't hear that, will you? Praise the Lord. You know, let me make you laugh. When I go to my phone and I check news, maybe CNN, they say, do you want notification? No. You know, I remember yesterday, breaking news at alert given to you. I said, no, I don't want breaking news. Don't break me apart. Because you say, something happened, somebody 25 people dead. And they won't carry news like, we are distributing millions of naira. They won't carry, all they carry is, earthquake somewhere, something. Like, come on, mini corny. How did they order these earthquakes now? What are you telling me? You know? Hallelujah. See, I'm saying, peace I give to you. Pastor, the way you are talking, I'm not going to make us serious. So. You need to be serious about life. Uh-huh. If anybody's serious about life, I do. But I say another negative of seriousness, where you start living in the conclusion that it's not there yet. You start, what will happen to me tomorrow? You're already here today. Maybe Christ will come overnight. He has not come yet. So let's just take our life cool. Some things I've not gotten yet. But what will I do about that? I can't do anything about that. Praise God. When I was in school, I used to worry a lot about results coming out. I was writing an exam like this, and I'd be looking at the paper again, over and over again. Every day, did I write? Is that right? And usually I will have a dream that I fail. That's my sure way to know that I will pass. Think about dream, I will fail in the past. Why? My mind was so jammed up with failure. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you here, somebody? He said, do not worry about tomorrow. Back to. So, what should we do with our worry? This is what we should do. Go back to Philippians 4, verse 6. Give us a message Bible. That's a question. Message Bible. That's where I'm going. Oh, we should read message of this one. Let's read, give us message of this one. No, give us, go back to Matthew 6, 34, verse 34, Matthew 6, in message Bible. My wife saw something there. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Let's clap our hands for Jehovah God. Hallelujah. See, this one is putting together now. Heart and mind. Don't worry. God is at work in your life. Let God do whatever he's doing now. You have only one customer now. What's God telling you to do? Give him your best. Some pastors are worrying about how can they reach the whole of Abeokuta? How are we going to touch? This one we are here right now, that's Abeokuta. And there's no way, did I buy any of you to come to church? Did I pay for anybody to come to church? Pay you money to come to church? I can't worry forever. How many will I go to? Praise the Lord. My ministry, it's not my own. Baba Deboye, one time he was worrying about the ministry. He was growing gray and quite earlier. And God said, you know, my son, you know your problem? Go and check your signboard. I heard it from his own mouth. He said, check the name. He said, Redeem Christian Church of Adeboye. He said, no, Church of God. He said, what's your problem? Hallelujah. Let's go back to Philippians 4, 6, and I stop. We can read some books before we go. Let me just tidy up around here. We'll come. Now, this is it. Now, what do you do with your worry? Don't come to all of us. Don't fret or worry. Now, listen now. Instead of worrying, do what? Pray. Look at what it says. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into what? Prayers. Letting God know your concern. Now, you're worried about your children. How are they going to cope? Or you're worrying about life. You're worrying about your career. Now, just stop and say, God, please. You know you are my God. And you are my Father. I put this matter in your hand. So you are turning that worry now into. And you are saying, God, I don't know what that exam that I just did. I don't know, but Lord, my life is in your hand. My future is in your hand. Whatever it goes, I know you are there for me. I want to succeed in this exam. Have you ever traveled by air? You can worry to re-enter the plane. After you enter, there's nothing you can worry about. Because you can't park. Did you hear me? You know, I had this strange thing happen to me. When I travel by air somewhere, there'll be a plane crash somewhere. That happened about two or three, four times to me now. I said, devil, what's this all going on? You know, one time I went to Abuja. I was sitting there, just sitting in Abuja, eating my food to come out to Lagos. They said, one plane crashed in Indonesia. I said, why put that on my mind now? One time I went to US or UK. They said, plane crash. I said, why is it that when I'm traveling? You know? Pusade is not here today. When his wife got to menopause, worry about death, life was just, she was just, death. One day, Pusade said, sit down. We know that if you die now, you are going to heaven. To die is gain, to be crucified better. So, he just calm down. Huh? And then just. Huh? So turn it to what? Take petition and Father. Okay, you're going to Lagos. The road is very bad. You're not sure what will happen. Just say, Father, I don't know. But I'm going because you are with me. And I'm trusting you. Take care of me. And devil said to you, Baba God. And then one of the ways to kill worry is to start singing, praising God, thanking God. Remember when you were very small, going through graveyard, what do? You start singing. Anybody like, you know, I have a God who never fails. You are running at the same time. That's not true. But if your dad follows you or your mom follows you, you just calm down. And you have never seen them dealing with ghosts before. You just, it's just that mom will take care of that. Praise God. But your father has dealt with all kinds of goods. Your heavenly father that has given us the victory. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Are you here? Let's stop here now. We'll continue next week. He said, when I look to the mountains, where does my help come from? Where does my help come from? From the mountains around me? From the Lord. Hallelujah. Are we here? Tell yourself, I don't have to worry. I have a Father who can take care of me. And His Spirit will direct me and guide me to where I will go, where I will be, in Jesus' name. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Let's do some reading for 10 minutes there about and give our offering, get out of here. I'm really glad I came today. What about you? Really glad I came today. Today, which chapter? Did we finish last week? We finished. Oh, beautiful. Okay, chapter 7. We're reading the book called What to Do When Faith Seems Weak and Victory is Lost.